preparing for this, to do this with Theodore, it kept bringing to my mind that that this is not just about going into a building and singing some songs and walking away and say, Sunday, it was a nice day, Theodore got dedicated, it really is. But why should I go to a church? Why should I spend my Sundays here? So I was talking to someone else this morning there. Someone we were talking about was out doing something else, and other people doing other things. And maybe next Sunday, you may not be in a church next Sunday. But why go to church? The whole concept of God, and there's an article I just read yesterday. It just blew me away, and it talked about the millennials that are coming up, young people. It said the millennials are turning away from the church in droves. They're seeing no purpose in going to the church. Matter of fact, many of them now are turning to astrology and witchcraft and spiritual, looking for the spiritual and not finding it in the church. So they're turning away from the church and turning to the world and looking to the world to find their spiritual food, if you would. And they're finding it. It's becoming reality to them. They're actually embracing it and saying how wonderful this is, because the church has failed to reveal the truth of what it means to be a child of God. The church itself has evolved into a program that we do on Sunday morning. It's something that we just do because that's what we always did. That's not what the church was created for. And I hope this morning I can share with you a little bit what I believe the church should be. It shouldn't be just people coming in here listening to me. But it should be the purpose of the church is that like-minded people coming together in love to rejoice and celebrate God and one another. When Jesus came to this earth, he did not come to start a religion. He did not come to this earth to think of, well, gee, you know, they need a Christian church down here and they don't have one, so I'm going to go down there and start a church. That wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to reestablish relationship between man and their creator. Jesus was an outpouring, if you would, or a revelation of who God is. Man had a concept, and it's still today. Men have concept of who God is. They create them in the image of their own mind. What they think about God, they look around and they say, okay, this is going on, so God must not be there, or God is there, and look what he's doing. And we actually say it in our insurance companies. We say, well, it was an act of God. When destruction and death comes, oh, it must be God. That wasn't God. It isn't God. It won't be God. Amen. God is love. The Bible tells us God is love. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy, but I came to bring life. That life was the love of God into the hearts and the minds of the people. His sole purpose was to show them and tell them, God loves you. How did he do that? He fed people who were hungry. He healed people who were sick. Even raised people from the dead. That's why God sent his son. The Bible tells us that Jesus was God in the flesh. God had to come down here and work with the people down here to reveal that God is love. Jesus came to say, God loves you. Not to start another religion. I said it earlier. If you look, you see that people are staying away from the church because the purpose of the church isn't being fulfilled. And those who call themselves Christians aren't Christians. That's tough. Now some of them, and I'm going to retract that somewhat, some people can be a Christian and still not act like a Christian. Amen? Is there times we don't act like Christians? Yes. But that's why God's love is so important. Amen. It's because of His love that we cannot act like a Christian in a moment's time because of temptation, because of anger, because of frustration, because of all the things of this life. And for a moment, we can get out of that love relationship we have with God and get into our own selfish mode. And then when our eyes are opened again and we recognize that we missed something here, this is not of God, then we can repent or ask for forgiveness from God and say, Lord, forgive me. And God is faithful and just to forgive you. It's not about what you can not do. It's about what's open to you that wasn't open to you before. See, religion is about rules and regulations saying, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that. But love is about all the things that God has opened opportunity for you to do. The most important sign that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have accepted His sacrifice for your sins is that you love one another. Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. Oh, by the way, it's not about the ones that you like. It's actually about the ones you don't like. The Bible tells us before we accepted Christ's sacrifice that we were enemies with God, but yet He still loved us. Matter of fact, the scriptures say we love God because He first loved us. See, it's a love walk. Now, the concept of love is different. The concept of love out there is different than what God says love is. You can say, I love somebody, and then turn around and say at the same moment, I love hot dogs. And you make no distinction between the two. So love is not what we think love is. Love is what the one who is love says it is. And that's the problem with the church. Because the church isn't exhibiting the love that God called them to reveal. Imagine if Jesus came down and He built a building and He invited people to come in and He gave a good message because He always did. He was able to keep people in that building because signs and wonders and miracles drew people and they would come in droves to there. And then He would have a nice dinner or lunch after service. Everybody go out and eat something. It was great. Then they went home to their homes. But the only thing that would keep them there is He kept doing the signs and wonders. He kept feeding them. Because the moment He stopped that and said, you know what? This isn't about what I do for you here. It's about what God will do for you in your heart, to change your heart, to love God and love one another. They would leave. Because it's not about who I love or what I love, because they don't have a concept of what true love is. It truly is about what you do for me at this moment. And so the church turned around and said, well, we got to do good works. We got to do this for them. We got to have good programs, children's programs. We got to do all these wonderful things for people in order to keep them coming to our place. But love keeps getting pushed back farther and farther. Matter of fact, in Revelation, he talks to the first church. He said, the first problem I have with you is you left your first love. That's the first thing he said to the first church. You left your first love. The first love is supposed to be God, because we can't learn to love one another unless, first of all, the love of God is in our heart. Until we learn to love God, we can't love one another. Amen. We can put up with one another. We may even be able to sit in the same building with one another for a couple hours. But I'd never get around them once I leave this building. We certainly can't love one another until we first of all have the love of God in us. And we certainly can't love those who don't go to church. Because they're evil. We're good, they're evil. We're not supposed to love evil things, so we can't love them. But we were one of those evil things at one time. But God still loved us. Once we received that love, now we start loving others. And we're actually able to love those out there. And again, in a moment, I'm going to read to you what God said love is, not what I say love is or what anybody says love is, except God. The second thing is, you can't love your enemies unless you have the love of God in you. Because remember what I said, we love God because God first loved us. And that love is what caused Jesus to go to the cross and take upon himself the penalty, your penalty, my penalty, for our sins. Somebody says, well, what makes you think there is a God? Maybe I don't believe there is a God. You have every right to believe that way. That's what love does, gives you free will and free choice. Love will never pull you in and cause you to do something that's against your will. God gives you that choice to accept him, that he is God and that he created all this out here, all the beauty you see, the trees and the mountains and the rivers and the oceans and the lakes. He created the stars and the moon and the sky, all those things. When you sat there with that one who you love and care about and looked at the moon and you were awestruck by the beauty of the moon and the beauty of the moment, God created that. Whether we accept that or not, well, maybe it was just a big bang theory. There was. God said, let there be light, and bang, there was light. It was all created by God. Well, God also said, man, you're without excuse. All you have to do is look around. You know there is a creator. You may not know who the creator is, because unless you know what love is, you can't know him. You can know about him. Amen. We have a president now of the United States. What you think about him, to me, is not critical one way or the other. But the truth is, many make assumptions of who he is without knowing him. All they do is hear about him. They hear this story and they hear that story. And that's on both sides of the spectrum. It doesn't matter. We know him. We saw him on TV, and we saw him in the White House. We saw him, and we make assumptions about what type of person this is. And it's the same thing we do with God. We take God, and we look at what's going on in the world, the death, the destruction, the hunger, all the pain and suffering that's going on, and say, well, if there is a God, why would he allow this to go on? Because he loves us. He gave us free will. It was man's choice to go this path, not God's. God tried to lead them, but they said, no, we like the way we are. We want to do it our way. And so when we do that, we do the same thing. We learn to love our own way. And our love is determined by what someone says or does against us or for us. As long as you do what I want, I'll love you. The moment you don't do it my way, and I'm not so crazy about you right now. Being honest and truthful, we've all been there. And at times still are. And we have to fight that urge to be our own God. Because when we build God into the image that we desire, we have made ourselves to be God. And unless we can love like God, we cannot be God. But it was God's intent that you be just like him. God has given you everything necessary for a good and godly life, the Bible tells us. God says the moment you accept the sacrifice of his son on the cross, he will take his love and pour it into your heart so you can be just like him and love even your enemies. That's a love that no man is capable of doing on their own. No man. As much as we'd like to admit and say that we can, oh, I love them, really. Love is more than just words, it's actions. You can't say you love your brother in Christ and not meet his needs. Well, I didn't know his needs. That's the problem. You're not walking in love, because if you were walking in love, you would know what their need was. Well, why? Why would I know? Because you're so concerned about that person, you would ask. when I talk to my wife and I say, honey, I love you, and I look at her and I don't see her the way she is, that sparkling in her eye, that just joy and all that wonderful things, I go, what's wrong? And she has a way of talking to me and telling me what's wrong. She said, I need some loving. And that's what God did. He looked on his people and said, I need some loving. So what is love? 1 Corinthians 13. God explains what love is. Now I'm going to use something, a piece of paper, because I put out the Amplified. Mine is New King James, and I just wanted to read it out of the Amplified. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but not have love, listen to this, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us. The love he's talking about in the Greek, the word is agape. Agape is an unconditional, all-consuming love. There's no conditions by which he will say, I don't love you. None. That's an amazing fact. Think about it. Think about all the people we know. All the people we know, whether in the church or out of the church. Think of all the people we know. Can you say, I love every one of them unconditionally? That's the problem with America. That's a problem with this nation, what's going down in it. It isn't because one believes this way and another believes that way. It truly isn't. And we think that if we could just do this, if we could just understand how they feel, if we just could do this, you can't change your heart on your own. You can change your actions. You can actually put up with people you don't like. You know that? You can determine in your mind, I am not going to get angry at those people anymore. While in the middle of your heart, you're sitting there going. Once we come to the understanding that the only hope America has to be in unity in one accord is by love. Not man's love. Man's love's conditional. God's love is unconditional. The only way that can be exhibited in this world is if the church starts loving one another the way it should. Because if we don't, we're called to be the light to the world. We're called to be the example. We're called to be the one where the world can turn to and see. But when the church acts and talks and thinks like the world, why should they bother coming to us? When you start loving that way, you're going to suffer for it. It's going to cost you. I don't want to make it so all rosy, oh, you're going to walk in love. No. Because hate will always attack love. And if they're not operating out of love, you will be attacked. But the good news is this. Even if you are attacked, the scriptures tell us love conquers all. Where there's darkness, the light, which is the love of God, will dispel the darkness. But if you're looking for something to do easy and something to be, oh, this is wonderful and all this, it doesn't work that way. There's a cost to it, a willingness to allow God to love each and every one of them through you. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking you to be a willing participant with God, who is love, so that you can bring that love down here. Look what he says. I am only, he said, if I do all these wonderful things, but I don't do love, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. And I think what somebody once said, you become an empty suit. Love is what fills it. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Listen to this. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love is never boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Now sink in for a moment. Imagine if the love that God had poured out into our hearts, been poured out into the church, and we don't stand and resist the evil coming at us. We stand and speak the word of God in love. What would happen? What would happen? Who would win the victory? Well, what if they killed us? We still win. You can't kill love. You can just stop loving. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful, it takes no account of evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Glory to God. Glory to God. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Did he say some people? He didn't say it this way. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every Democrat. Or believe the best of every Republican. Or believes the best of whatever. He didn't do that. He says the best of everyone. The sad part of it is that we have fallen backwards into what we feel, how we think, rather than what God said. God is love. God says, listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're doing at this second. I love you. And I got people there. I have people there who will love you just like I do. So if you come into the building where the ones who love one another and love God are all gathered together, and you come in and you're not dressed perfectly, and you come in and you don't talk perfectly, and you come in and you just, you know, do things and say things that you shouldn't do, they will still love you. They will not judge you. They will not condemn you. They won't point fingers at you. They won't talk behind your back. They won't make excuses for why they can't have a relationship with you. They'll love you unconditionally. You'll be accepted unconditionally. Matter of fact, we'll be right there to be a blessing to you, and we will meet your need to the best of our ability, whatever that need is. That's what love is. Listen to this. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. never fades or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Love never fails. In one translation, it says, love thinks no evil. That's the one I trip on all the time. I wish I could say I'm perfect in all my ways. I struggle, and at times I'll sit there and some thought will come to my mind. I'll hear somebody say something, and I would say, I got to turn that off. And the truth, you want the truth? The truth is, I need to turn it off because I don't want to deal that I'm not operating out of love. I turn those things off for my benefit, not for theirs. I need to be able to listen to people with opposite views. I need to listen to people who don't believe. I need to listen and accept what they're doing. And they're speaking from their heart. They don't know. But I've been receiving His love. I need to be able to exhibit that love, even in the worst of times. And that is the most difficult thing. In my own strength, I cannot do that. My own will won't allow it. But in Christ, I can do all things. I may not accept what they do. I may not even like what they do. But I can still love them. I can accept them for who they are, knowing that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died for every one of them. And if He died for them because of His love for them, can I accept them because of His love for them? That's what love is, and that's what the church is. The Bible says when we come together, you know what they call it? A love feast. A love feast. Now, though we come together to enjoy one another, and when you rejoice, I rejoice with you. And when you're hurting, I hurt with you. And if I have a way to help you, I need to be there to help you. Because it's a love feast, and I don't want anything to interfere with my love feast. When you sit down and you decide, well, you know what, I'm going to show my spouse how much I love them. So I'm going to make them dinner or her dinner. I'm going to fix the table up nice, put candles on it, put nice music back there. I'm thinking of it. I haven't done it yet, but I'm getting there. Diane's thinking, I can hear. Well, where's that at? We're getting there. And I said, God's still working on me. But we prepare ourselves to exhibit that love. And we do everything we can. Because why? Because when two people are in love like that, there's a special something happens. There's sparks and electricity and it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing. It's just something that love and only love can bring. You can go out and buy somebody a new car. Just because you want to buy them a new car doesn't mean it's the same experience you're going to experience with love. Love is a special anointing on it that brings together even those things have been separated. That's what Jesus did. His love brought us together with our Heavenly Father. That's what the church is about. A place where there's a love feast. Not just food after service, but a love feast right in the midst of a battle. Right in the midst. I need to get together with people who love me and accept me the way that I am. And won't turn their back on me because they don't accept what I've said and done. That's what love is. Until we get there. And the only way to get there that I know of is through Christ and through God. And bringing us to a place where we say, yes, Lord. I can love because you first loved me. And I've received that love. I accept that love. And I'm going to share that love with whosoever. That's what the church should be. That's what the church is all about. Well, why can't I stay home? I can still love God, but you can't love the brethren. Because only loving the brethren only is being part of who they are and what's going on in their lives. You can't say I love Jesus and not love his body. That's what the church is for. That somehow, some way, people will encourage you. And I'm going to tell you what. You know it as well as I do. When you can't love someone, the hardest thing is to get around them. But God says, I'm training you up to love everyone. So get near the ones that I love. Which is everyone. Amen? Hallelujah. Told you it was a short message this morning. But that's what we're about here.